For a few days in December, our nation had reason to celebrate. We were, after all, the Southeast Asian Games champions, overall champion. It highlights the advantage of the home court. The last time we were champion as well was in 2005, and guess what? We were also the host during that year. The home court advantage is a proven phenomenon in every sport. Where the player is in his home court, he is more likely to win than one who is not in his home court. Now, when we think of the church, we are one team with a mandate and mission in this world, but we do not have home court advantage. The home court advantage belongs to the enemies. The spectators of the world are cheering the world while jeering at the church. Kung tayo nakikipagtunggali sa mga kalaban sa mundo, ay chinichir ang mga nasa mundo, samantalang binubu ang mga taga-iglesia. And yet, we must still be in every place where the encounter happens. If the event is scheduled to happen, we must be there. And we must not retreat, even if it is not our home court. Now, late this year, we had been blessed to have the opportunity to adopt a team in Lipa City. And we are hoping that a few Sundays from now, I am now announcing its rescheduling from this coming Sunday to the first Sunday of January, we will have the reaching out Christian mission of Lipa City to Covenant in our presence, and they will become a full-fledged church. And that means another full team will be formed to carry on the mission of the church in the place of their calling. Now, this group actually is a renewal of sorts. They were once a church, but they decided that they started wrongly, and now they want to put it right. And why did they start wrongly? They did not start as a covenant church. The right start of a church to become a full-fledged church, because it is the community of the new covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ, its proper beginning must be to covenant together. Unfortunately, the average church today is formed without any covenant membership. The membership is often loose and without definition. They form themselves into a church, and members are considered members only because they probably attend regularly and consistently, and they express a liking for the church, and because of that they are counted as members. But in the reality of church experience, not everything is going to be likable in the experience of the church. That explains the easy falling away of members who once liked a group, who once liked a church. There's looseness in reality. This is not a picture we have of the New Testament church. The New Testament church, the local churches I mean, are bound together through likes and dislikes, through ups and downs, through thick and thin. They bond together because they consider their bond, not because they like one another, they consider their bond a covenant. A covenant that reflects first the covenant within the triune Godhead, and then the covenant which is the covenant of redemption between God and the Son to save a people for Himself. And those people saved are now formed into local churches, and that is why local churches are to be defined by a covenant bond. This is what makes a local church. I invite you to turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, a very familiar passage. Ephesians chapter 4, we will read the first 11 verses. Ephesians 4, 1 to 11. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of all of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity in the spirit, the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Now the letter of Paul to the Ephesians is so neatly divided, it will not let you go astray. The first three chapters are doctrinal, where Apostle Paul catalogues the salvation blessings Christians share in Christ. If you are a true believer, you have all these salvation blessings which Apostle Paul so richly enlists from chapter 1 to chapter 3. The salvation in terms of predestination in love, salvation blessing in terms of forgiveness, in terms of redemption, in terms of acceptance with God. Can you imagine all those blessings that you do not have if you are not in Christ? And this year 2019 is going to soon conclude, and you are still outside of Christ. None of those blessings. You may have blessings of education and ambition and wealth and health and so many other things that are good in themselves, but without Christ, you have no forgiveness, you have no redemption, you have no acceptance with God. Do you even imagine the poverty of your spiritual condition? That is what a non-believer doesn't have. But now, Paul is saying, believers, saints, have these blessings. And now because they have these common blessings, what they do is they get together in communities which we call churches, the local churches, because of these common blessings. And that is what we have in chapters 4 to 6. Apostle Paul is now deriving the practical implications of the doctrinal side of being a Christian. We have all the blessings of salvation in Christ. Now, having all those common salvation blessings, what does that mean in our church life? The very first thing that Apostle Paul derives from that is to maintain the unity of the church. Ang pinakauna na hinugot ni Pablo na praktikal na tungkulin na mga Kristiyanong may magkakaparehong pagpapala ng kaligtasan ay panatilihin ang pagkakaisa ng iglesia. Hindi madali ito. In fact, Apostle Paul uses the word to make every effort to struggle. It demands some struggle on our part, because it is not an easy thing to do, because God has put together in the church people of different personalities, and sometimes these personalities impinge against each other and they scratch together with some scratches left behind. So it's not easy. And Apostle Paul is pleading, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. And now take note the words he used, the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's the reference to a bond. Why should Christians in the same local church endeavor to keep the unity despite differences, despite possible scratches? Because there's a bond. There's a bond that brings them together. It is then followed by a series of ones. One spirit, one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Do you notice something? All these ones are all outside of one's personality. It is not saying there is one God for the extrovert. There's one Lord for the introvert. And there's one Spirit for those of another personality. There is all the same. Once you have whatever your personality, that is the reason why a church must keep its unity, because there is a bond that makes them one. So this oneness that defines the local church is best described as a covenant oneness. Grace Baptist Church is a covenant oneness for 38 years. When Reaching Out Christian Mission will become a covenanted church a few weeks from now, then it will begin its life of a covenant bond. This is my message. The local church is bound together by a solemn covenant under the Lord Jesus Christ. Ang iglesyang lokal ay binubuklod ng banal na tipan sa ilalim ng Panginoong Hesukristo. The local church is bound together by a solemn covenant under the Lord Jesus Christ. Just being together and having some unity of agreement does not make one group a church. For example, if you are all passengers of the same bus going to the same place, you may have agreement about your destination, and you may even be siksikan, and your flesh are impinging on each other. You are together, but that's not a church. There's no covenant. Or you may be in the same stadium, cheering for the same team, and you are intense in your passion for your team. So there is some kind of agreement. But once again, there is no covenant. That is not a church. What makes it a church is that the people freely and intelligently enter into a relationship that can only be described as covenant. And being together by a solemn covenant under the Lord Jesus Christ entails four components. I will mention two tonight, the second two next Lord's Day. So the four components are, first, voluntarily pledge. Kusang loob na nagpanata. Voluntarily pledge. Secondly, instructionally ordered. Inayos ayon sa pagtuturo, instructionally ordered. And the next Lord's Day, the following two are regularly gathered. Regular na nagtitipon, regularly gathered. And fourthly, ministerially committed. Merong pagkakaloob sa paglilingkod sa isa't isa. But for tonight, just these two. Voluntarily pledged and instructionally ordered. That is what makes it a covenant church. First of all, voluntarily pledged. In fact, pledge is the basic concept of the covenant. When it is between unequal parties, a superior and an inferior, the superior makes a pledge and then makes a demand of the inferior. That is the kind of covenant God makes with His creatures. He makes a pledge and then He makes a demand. But when it is between equal parties, the pledge becomes agreement. Both have pledges that they give to each other. Now that is the nature of the covenant in a church. Equal parties, all sharing the same salvation blessings, now agree that they will become together bound by a covenant, and that covenant becomes a solemn and binding agreement. A covenant stipulates binding obligations. And when we say obligation, it means there are penalties upon violation. But because it is a covenant under God, the penalty is for God to give. Every party in the covenant enters into that relationship voluntarily and intelligently. No one is forced. When we see 8 or 9 people covenant together in the reaching out Christian mission of Lipa City, none of those is forced. Each is entering into the covenant relationship freely, intelligently, and voluntarily. But take note, members enter voluntarily into the covenant relationship, but once entered, they are pledged. Pumapasok sa tipa ng relasyon, ng kusang loob. Ngunit pagkapasok, ikaw ay namanata. Isa na itong panata, isa na itong vow sa Panginoon. This pledge is something we respond to the pledge of God. God has made a covenant with His people whom He has chosen to save. And this is reflected in the new covenant. How does God seal the new covenant of salvation in Christ? With Christ dying and rising again, that is your only hope of salvation. Now, for the Christian who will make a pledge to enter the church, how does he make that pledge? He makes that pledge by that union with the death and resurrection of Christ, which is baptism. Now, let me make myself clear. Baptism does not join you to Christ savingly. If you are hoping that in once your baptism you became a Christian, you are mistaken. To be saved, you must come to Christ by yourself, on your own, by faith. But in order to seal your covenant with fellow Christians in a local church, you seal it by your union with the death and resurrection of Christ at baptism. Baptism is making oneself publicly confessed as a follower of Christ. It means that when you get baptized, you are done keeping your faith secret. You are making it known to the world. That is the function of baptism. This is what Paul said in Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now what does that mean? That when you are baptized, you put on Christ. I have explained this many times, especially during baptism occasions. This is taken from the language of the theater. When an artist or an actor proceeds to the stage in order to carry on his role, how will the audience know what sort of character he is playing? By the costume that he is wearing. So the costume tells the audience, this is my character. And this is the language that Paul uses here. When you are baptized, you put on the costume of Christ so that you tell the audience of the world, I belong to Christ. I am now a disciple of Christ. It is baptism that does that. You see why when a person claims to be a Christian but refuses to be baptized, we have no ground to recognize him publicly as a Christian. Because the public recognition is through the costume of baptism. By being baptized, you are proclaiming to the world and to the public that you belong to Christ and to His church. That is why when Paul was answering the logic of some in Rome, after Paul announced the great blessing of, or the great statement that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, some of those in Rome carried on the logic of that in a demonic way by saying, if grace abounded more when sin abounds, then there is sin all the more that grace may abound. How did Paul answer that? He did not even bother with the logic of it. He simply said in Romans 6:2-3, certainly not. By no means. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. So Paul does not bother to use logic against logic. He simply says, wait a minute, you have been baptized. And as baptized, you have made a public vow no longer to live in sin, but to live in the newness of life. So it is not saying that it is baptism that saves, but it is your vow to live in the newness of life. So when reaching out Christian mission proceeds with its covenanting a few Lord's Day from now, they will be pledging themselves as a church. Each is a volunteer in doing so. Once they have entered voluntarily without coercion, they are pledged. God no less will weigh their faithfulness in what they have pledged. They answer to Him. If you're following the PBA, just a few days ago, there was a recent annual draft, meaning players from the amateur ranks wanting to become players professionally are made themselves available for any team to get them as a member of their team. O halimbawa, kinuha sila ng isang team. Pwede ba nilang sabihin, ay ayoko, Hinebrang gusto kong kumuha sa akin, but bakit naman Alaska? Hindi nila pwedeng sabihin yung pag sila kinuha and they are volunteer draftees, then they become pledged to give their best to make their team win. If that is true in sports, that is so much more true in spiritual covenanting. So I challenge each one of us as a covenant church, be faithful to what you have pledged to serve God and one another in this church. Before you became a member, you have had time to make an intelligent consideration. I hope you have examined your commitment to the church. And a covenant church will only be as faithful as the individual members are faithful covenantally. And we have pledged to serve God, accepting His way, that the way to advance His kingdom is through the church. You have pledged to serve your brethren. Remember that the series of ones in our text, one spirit, one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and one Father of all, it's all about outside of our personality. It is regardless of your personality and experience. What makes us together and united is what we have outside of our personality. See God in your brother and sister. See Jesus in your brother and sister. Whatever the annoying manners that saddle his personality, let this be a reminder to us as a 38-year-old covenant church. The covenant duty has not waned. And I appeal to those of you to whom your church duties are not taken as covenant duties, remember, the penalty of the covenant is God's penalty, not simply man's penalty. In the Old Testament, when two parties make a covenant, they cut to pieces an animal and then burn it. What that symbolizes is, if I violate my covenant part, may I be like this animal. This happened in the Abrahamic covenant. This happened between Laban and Jacob. Covenant making in the Old Testament is making that solemn oath. May this happen to me. An animal cut to pieces if I do not carry out my part of the covenant. So Grace Baptist Church is a voluntarily pledged church for 38 years. Reaching Out Christian Mission will soon become a pledged church. But the covenant is what defines
our duty.
Now, not many people know that most of the covenants, including the covenant we use, is a variation of what was originated by Benjamin Kitch in his church in the 17th century. Benjamin Kitch saw that many of the churches were well attended because they were afraid of government penalty. Because if you absent, you were going to pay fines. Not only that, during the service in Puritan congregations, there were ushers, and they were not to collect offerings. There were ushers carrying long sticks, and they were to see who among the parishioners were sleeping during the sermon. And then they would papaluin nila yung natutulog. Naisip ko rin minsan yun, but of course, we will not do that. What Benjamin Kitch saw, this is not right. It is not correct that people are attending and doing the external action because they're afraid of government. They must do it by covenant oath. And that's why he penned the covenant which many Baptists are using today. And I appeal to you, do your part, not because someone is going to make you pay fines or whatever other punishment, but because you made a covenant, a solemn oath. So, a covenant means we are voluntarily pledged, and secondly, it is instructionally ordered. Ang samahan ng iglesia ay iniayos ayon sa pagtuturo, instructionally ordered. Every gift of office that is mentioned here comes from the ascended Christ for the purpose of teaching and instruction. He mentions apostles and prophets. What were apostles and prophets? Apostles and prophets were carriers of revelation. We no longer have apostles and prophets today. There are claimants and they are all false. Apostolicity and prophecy as offices have ceased. Then it mentions evangelists. Evangelists pertain to those who go to places in order to plant churches. We call them missionaries today. We have an evangelist. He's now in Cambodia, going to Thailand this December 23, according to his last message to me. So we have an evangelist, but he is not a resident officer. The singular office in the church for teaching purposes are the pastors and teachers. Now, I want you to understand that they are bracketed. Take note, every office has the article, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and then it doesn't say the pastors and the teachers. It says the pastors and teachers. There is one article that brackets together pastors and teachers. Teachers are not a different office from pastors. But what it tells us is that the church is covenanted under the rule and teaching of the word through the teachers. When you make your pledge to become a church, or when we made our pledge to become a church, we pledge to uphold the teaching of the word summarized in our confession of faith. You have chosen your pastor teacher. He answers to God in his manner of teaching. You submit your most treasured possession as a church is that you have your Bible as the authority, not the man. The Bible is the authority. Let every question that emerges be answered by the Bible. Let every crisis be resolved by the Bible. And as a covenant church, we have a teaching to uphold, to practice, and to promote. Fellowship is good, but let it be defined by the word. Have fun activities, but they must be subservient to the word. Especially in worship services, where we practice regulative principle. Every worship must be prescribed by a command of the New Testament. Then we make sure everything is by the word. There will be periods of discipline. And I know that at such times, emotions intensify. Discipline is such a time that it is the hardest to be biblical, because emotion will always blur the vision. That's the more challenge. What sets apart the church from the rest of the world's organizations is that we have an instruction book, and we are ordered instructionally. You know, every crew of pilots in a plane, in the cockpit, they have a ready instruction manual for every possible predicament. And during real crisis, they will not depend on autopilot. They will not depend on robotic skills. They will bring out that manual where every possible predicament has an answer. And that's the Bible to us. When crisis happens, we don't turn autopilot. We open our book. That is what makes us a covenant church. So measure your covenant faithfulness as a challenge in submission to the teachings and the practice of teachings. These are exciting times for Reformation. This year, 2019, as I have shared this morning, I have had to go more places and start more conferences for the first time. And I expect even more in the year 2020. But before we can be a force for Reformation outside our church, inside must be members who know how to submit to scriptures even at the point of highest emotion. That's where we begin to be a force for Reformation. Be there, begin there in the church. Practice the teachings. On the other hand, do not be over dependent on your teacher. I like members who are leaders and researchers of the word. I know from experience there is no better supporter of teachers of the word than those who themselves study the word. Those who do not study the word, they either become over-dependent or they become critical, thinking they know better. And I want the members of the church to be themselves students of the Word of God. By becoming a covenant church, by having become a covenant church, we reflect the new covenant that Christ has put in operation. And once again, I appeal to those of you who still are outside the blessings of the new covenant. Why are you continuing on in a life without the blessing of forgiveness, of redemption, of the seal of the Holy Spirit, of acceptance with God? Are you going to change all those things? Are you going to reject all those things because you are happy with your friends in the world? Because you're happy with what's going on in your accounts? Because you're happy with your gadget, because you're happy with your amusements, and all the while, you do not know forgiveness, you do not know redemption, you do not know eternal life, you do not know the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, by the new covenant, has offered that to you. Many of us have accepted these blessings, and as imperfect as we are, we have the assurance of those blessings in Christ. Do not delay. Do not let another year advance. God knows I pray for you by name, for you to be saved, for you to know Christ. And it will truly break my heart for another year to pass and for you to be still outside the grace of God. And for those of us who are in the grace of God and privileged to be gathered as a church, let us make sure that the word remains a covenant word to us. This is going to be my last reference to Joshua Harris. After this, I'll say no more. But I wonder, at what point was Joshua Harris's Bible no longer a covenant word? I have read many of his writings that touched me to the core. But at what point was there that he was writing those words, touching others, while not touching himself? Because it has ceased to be a covenant word. We are privileged that soon we will see another church planted in a place that is a tremendous opportunity for church planting and perhaps for reformation. And let us pray indeed that this church will prove to be covenantally faithful, voluntarily pledged, and instructionally ordered and committed to continue what has not been finished by the early church. They began faithfully, courageously, but the task remains unfinished. And we will sing our last hymn with that thought of facing a task unfinished that drives us to our knees, a knee that undiminished rebukes our slothful ease. And we who rejoice to know thee renew before thy throne, the solemn pledge we owe thee to go and make thee known. Let's close in prayer. Nakilat aming Diyos, aming mahabaging Ama, ito nga po ang iyong nilayon para sa isang iglesia lokal na ito ay magbuklod hindi sa pagkakagustuhan ng personalidad ng isa't isa, kundi dahil sa isang tipanan, tipanan na kung saan naangkin namin ang kaligtasan na kay Hesu Kristo. At kami pinagbuklod mo bilang isang iglesia. Father, first of all, we remember those who still have none of these salvation blessings. Though they have heard many times, very often, that this salvation is offered freely in Christ, yet they are pulled by the world. They are attached to the things that they think make them happy, they think make life fulfilling, and it is a fool's gold. And we pray, O Lord, that they may be given eyes to see what they are holding fast to is not eternal life. Only in Christ is there eternal life and forgiveness and redemption and the seal of the Holy Spirit, acceptance with the beloved. And may they hold fast to these blessings that are now freely offered in Christ. And for those of us who know these blessings and who have, by your grace, been privileged to join ourselves to this covenant church, we thank you that over 38 years, through thick and thin, ups and down, through our strengths and weaknesses, we have been able by your grace alone to maintain that covenant. And we ask that for more years to come, we may be able to maintain that covenant, the covenant that makes us voluntarily pledge that we have entered this covenant relationship freely, without coercion,
By baptism, we have proclaimed Jesus as our Lord and Savior to the world. And we ask, O Lord, that we may continue to be faithfully pledged to our covenant one to another. And we are instructionally ordered. We are not ordered by prophet. We are not ordered by sheer numerical growth. We are ordered by your teaching, by your word. And let that book be the most treasured possession that this church owns. And may it be our true authority. So we pray, Lord, that as a church we may continue to be a faithfully covenanted church. And as we witness a few weeks from now, according to your will, another church, the Reaching Out Christian Mission Group from Lipa City, covenant together, may they prove to be a covenantally faithful church. So we ask, O Lord, that in all of this, we may bow to your will, we may submit to your design. It is through the new covenant in Christ that we are saved. And now you have gathered us together in covenantal attachment and bond to be the local church here. Make us covenantally faithful and make us continue and perpetuate what our earlier forefathers have so faithfully and courageously fulfilled in their mission. Help us do our part for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.